Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, joined by Margaret Gray, Robert Leonard, and Bud Dickman. And I apologize, things have been a bit squirrely tonight. We've had a near fist fights break out in here.
That is not fair.
Hold on, let me just introduce the hour, if you don't mind. The show, in other words, tonight has been sort of like Robert Plant right here, just screeching and reaching for his you-know-what. All right, so anyway, some sad news. We always have had a very soft spot here in our hearts on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show for Dina Eastwood.
Well, what about Clint?
Clint, he can burn in hell. I'm kidding. But she, Dina Eastwood, many, many years ago.
Oh, no. You're not going to tell the story.
I'm going to tell the story for our audience that hasn't heard it.
Phil, we've heard the story.
Dad, we've heard it.
I don't care what you've heard. Didn't I have David Hall call me a moment ago and say that you got to get heard on this whole Syria thing?
Yes, but I'm talking about something that is vital to the people and to the children of the world. And,
Margaret, you know, if I swear to God, if you give a speech like that tonight...
I'm not giving a speech.
I don't care, but if you start in with the world, if you start in with that, what I call...
Got caught slack jaw.
Yes, it's almost like sloppy jaw.
I don't want it called sloppy jaw. Do you understand me?
Well, Margaret...
I don't want... If that one there calls it sloppy jaw, all bets are off. All bets are off, and I do not feel constrained by any morality. I'll do what I gotta do.
Yeah, you sound like Jack Hoffa in Hoffa.
Jack Hoffa?
You mean Jack Nicholson?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay, anyway, welcome back to our show. I'm sorry, folks, I was introducing the hour, but I got butted into by these three, yes, Margaret... idiots.
And where do you get off calling me an idiot?
Same place you got off calling me a monkey. When you said to me, Bud, and Robert, you three sitting your monkey asses in here.
Yeah, and you're laughing.
Dina Eastwood got in touch with our show about 10 years ago, and she said, we didn't know who she was. She said, originally, she was talking to our then producer, Janice Ngaro, and she said, hi, you know, my husband's a big fan, and can we get an autographed CD? And she said, absolutely, you know, and Phil will autograph it for you. What is your name? She said, well, my name is Dina Eastwood, and my husband is Clint Eastwood. And it was then, that was like with the high point of my, I think that was the high point of my being on the radio up to now. It was getting an autograph, because I've always been a Clint Eastwood fan. It's almost like getting an autograph from, I don't know, Humphrey Bogart or somebody, you know. And she was very sweet about it, and she did not try to pull in a star thing. She just simply started by saying, may I get an autographed CD for my husband? And thank God we said, yes, you may.
You didn't say, well, who is your husband?
No, we did not.
How do you know?
Because I asked Janice. I said, how did the conversation go?
What'd she say?
She said that she got a phone call.
And what did she say from who?
She said she got a phone call from a lady.
What was the lady's name?
Will you guys shut up and let me tell the story? She got a phone call from a lady, and the lady said, hi, does Phil personally autograph CDs? And Janice said, yeah, he does. And she said, well, my husband's birthday is coming up. And he said, well, that's great. Yeah, Phil often autographs CDs for people's birthday. Now, that was back when we had the... I know a lot of you guys have asked for autographed pictures. We don't have any. We're getting them. I'm sorry, but that's just where it's at. And I apologize for that. When we had an apparatus to deal with that kind of thing...
Well, what do you mean apparatus? It sounds almost as if... Well, I'm sorry, Phil. It sounds like a strap on.
Yeah, it does.
Well, don't look at me like that.
Did you have to use that as an example?
You're talking about we had the apparatus.
I tell you, man, you guys have been listening to David too long.
Mr. Hall said you got to watch the way you say stuff.
Well, yeah, so why don't you do that, Margaret? And the next time you're talking about Syria, don't be going to the children.
Well, you're all apparatus.
In any event, I said, yeah, and so I autographed, and Janice asked her, she said, well, who is this? She said, my husband's name is Clint Eastwood, because she'd given her last name to Dean Eastwood. And Janice was like, oh, my God, Mrs. Eastwood, we're very happy to do it. And
you're saying that her celebrity didn't influence you in the least?
No, because we'd already said, yes, we'll do it. Probably, if it influenced us at all... It influenced Janice to give me the CD right away, and I signed it right away. She probably mailed it right away, you know.
Yeah, well, that's giving preferential treatment and everything.
What?
Giving reverential treatment.
Not reverential treatment. It's giving preferential treatment. I don't know. I don't think so, man. You know, all of the CDs get mailed out about the same time. It just so happens that she was very excited, and I was too. It's great to know that there's somebody who's a fan of your show that you think is pretty terrific. So the reason why we're bringing all of this up is that Clint Eastwood's marriage, and I don't really want to use the article. I hate TMZ with their smart-ass reporting, man. Just give me the facts, baby. Don't start giving me a Harvey Levin's version, okay, as he leans over the partitions there in the office with a cup of coffee. Go, Dina Eastwood, wife of Clint Eastwood, said Thursday that she couldn't care less whether his 83-year-old... I'm just joking. Dina Eastwood...
Well, why are you doing that when you're putting down TMZ? I know people over there.
Well, good. Tell them for me. I think they suck. How about... I'm just joking, guys. Dina Eastwood, wife of Clint Eastwood, said Thursday that she and the Oscar-winning filmmaker have broken up after 17 years of marriage and have been living separately for some time. That's kind of a drag. The former TV newscaster, who went by Dina Ruiz Eastwood when she briefly returned to work as an anchor in 2011, confirmed the split to Us Weekly, adding that the two remain close. Clint Eastwood's manager, when contacted about the split by the magazine, responded, "I know nothing about that." So he was lying. I don't know if he was lying.
Well, I'm sure he was.
He had to get the green light from the Eastwoods, too, and she didn't give him the heads up, I get. In April, Dina Eastwood voluntarily entered an Arizona rehabilitation facility for treatment of depression and anxiety, according to TMZ. The site said the two then had been having serious marital issues for months. Dina Eastwood met Clint Eastwood in 1993 while interviewing him for her station, the Monterey Salinas, California NBC affiliate, KSBW. They married on March 31st, 1996, and had a daughter, Morgan, that December. It was her first marriage and his second, though the film star has seven children with five women.
So?
Oh, so.
You're always talking about a man being responsible for everything.
Does he have to yell?
Get up to the microphone, Robert.
You're always talking about a man has to be responsible.
That's Clint Eastwood you're talking about there. You're not talking about just anyone. Clint Eastwood is one of our great artists, and as such, he needs to spread out. All right?
You talk about spread out.
What does that mean, spread out?
He's got to be able to spread out and air it out. I don't know.
Well, what does that mean?
Phil, I'm getting into an area here that I doubt very seriously if you know anything about.
Oh, is that right? So, you know...
And I'd be watching what you're saying, because Mr. Eastwood most likely isn't listening and hasn't for many years... But just in the odd chance that he is, that he's being forced to, maybe by Dina, if I were you, I'd be careful as to what you say.
I'm saying that I find that. I'm not trying to judge him, but I am saying that that is, just to show my audience that I'm consistent and that I'm not some ass-kissing, star-loving guy, I think that's kind of weird, man. And if even if he's got good relationships or is close with all five of the kids, it's still, to me, it's heartbreaking to see five children, or is it, what is it?
It's five children with seven different women.
Five children with seven different women. How's that possible?
What do you mean?
He had five children with seven women.
Yeah, how's that possible?
Two of the women could have had the same baby or something.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, thank you. One of the women, two of them had the same baby, and it came out...
Yeah, but I don't know.
Phil, I don't know, but that's what it says.
No, it doesn't. It says seven children by five women. Now, that makes sense.
In your universe, because you want it to make sense.
Have you read the story?
No, I don't think I have to. You've carved it up. All I have to do is listen to you and go opposite. I don't even think this is about Clint Eastwood. I think it's about Sheb Woolley.
Get out of here. All right, folks, you don't know who Sheb Woolley is. It doesn't matter. World-famous Phil Henry Show on philhenryshow.com. Don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com, where you can get a backstage pass and have access to an enormous, enormous volume of archived radio shows. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, going back over a decade. All kinds of crazy stuff, and it's there for you. Also, our daily videocast. Also, the daily show podcast, our daily classic show podcast. Our news feed, our webisodes, our Milwaukee Lion Archive, other webisodes we've done, radio interviews, TV pilots, and the like. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. Be a Backstage Pass member. Live again. All right, we're coming right back here. We've got some serious stuff to discuss, and one of them is a National Football League lawsuit being settled involving concussions. We're going to talk about that. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back. you turn that up, bud? I can't hear it, okay?
Yeah.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com, and very happy to be with you. Now, I know that we have, we were going to be talking a little bit about the, these kittens on a railroad track?
Yeah, there's kittens there, and they kept people from doing what they had to do.
Well, that's all well and good, but we've got Rudy Canoza, I know, is going to join us from Je T'aime Lingerie this evening, is going to talk a little bit about the breakup of the Eastwoods. This is not going to be something that I want to spend a whole lot of time on, because there is a, I think it's very, like I said, it's private, it's tragic, it's not, I don't know.
Well, it's not fodder for discuss. What is to discuss?
Well, Rudy is going to be discussing with us what might have been, and we'll get him on the show and try to figure out what exactly he means by that. Just to remind you, we are back on in a major market next week that we're going to be announcing on our pre-show. So if you want to join us for that announcement next week, you need a backstage pass, and we'll tell you about which market the Phil Henry Show finally returns to after a great many years. And also, we're back on in Sacramento, of course, at KSDE. Ken Charles and the guys doing just great service to the world-famous Phil Henry Show there. All right, I want to get Rudy Canoza on here before we do anything else. Rudy is at Je T'aime Lingerie there in the valley of Los Angeles County, up there in the San Fernando Valley near the Galleria. How you doing, Rudy?
Doing good, Philip, and very grateful to be on your program. I was also sorry to hear that the Eastwood family.
You didn't know them, did you?
No, I did not know them, but I was a great admirer of Dina Eastwood. I felt that she was a beautiful woman, and of course, I've always felt that Clint Eastwood, a great movie producer and director, and a great movie actor as well.
So, when you say what might have been, when you look at the Eastwoods, what do you mean?
I think I am Argentinian, a Latin man. Ms. Eastwood, she is of Latin descent. I think she's American, but her blood is Latin blood. And I think Mr. Eastwood might have missed an opportunity. And for many years, not you and I have been on this program, and we talk of the la-la-la-la-la. But I'm not to say that Clint Eastwood could have saved this marriage if he had learned that. But what I say, this is an example of when a woman runs afoul, when she is not mindful, when she is not taking care, concentrating on what can be, and what, as I say with Rudy, what might have been. And I listen to Margaret as she speaks of the Syrian people and in the dramatic way that she does. I understand what Margaret is saying.
Thank you very much, Rudy. I appreciate that. I've taken a lot of abuse on that.
I don't think you should, because...
well, she's being very, you know, the people.
No, but you see, when I talk of Dina Eastwood and what might have been, I have to accentuate to say Dina Eastwood, she married Clint Eastwood, and yet what might have been. La, 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 see.
Do you think that is something that's relatable?
And in what sense?
In the sense that if I'm an average man and I'm listening to what you're saying about Dina Eastwood... What might have been, la 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 la.
Well, yes, if you know how to do it. What you just did there was an obscenity. You have to learn.
Phil, there's a way of doing it.
Yeah, I know that, Margaret. Let me, okay?
Fine.
Yeah, there is a way of doing it. And what you did there was an obscenity. It was an obscenity before man and God.
And okay, so it was, all right. So it was an obscenity.
No, Phil, please, do not dismiss. Don't say, oh, yes, it was obscenity. No, you have to understand that. Dina Eastwood was a beautiful woman. She was a beautiful woman. And I looked at Dina Eastwood. I said to myself, this is a beautiful woman, driven to madness by this man, Clint Eastwood. This man, the man with no name. The man, the fistful of dollars, you know. The man who roll them, ride, you know. This man drove Dina Eastwood to the edge of madness. And to bring a woman like that back is the role of a Rudy, or any man that has a great love and admiration for the great women.
Or her husband,
absolutely. However, Clint Eastwood no longer her husband because they separated 1 year ago, as according to the news that I heard you say just this very moment. You said Clint Eastwood, his wife, they are separated as of a year ago. And so...
And by the way, you don't have to talk like you're dubbing a Spanish language movie, man. I can understand you, okay?
Fine, fine, Jesus. But you know what I'm saying?
Can I ask a question, Daddy? Or is this,
Don't be smart-ass, Margaret. I'm talking to the guy. What do you want to ask?
I simply wanted to ask you, Rudy. So what do you propose? I heard you say, because as you said, and I thank God for you, Rudy. Thank God. Thank God that you're here.
You know, I'm going to lose it if I keep hearing that guy.
Yeah, you have to let the woman speak.
Thank you. Thank God that you're here. Let me spell it.
Did you understand what she said?
Yeah, I understand everything.
I didn't.
No, I didn't either.
Okay, so that's 3-1, so we win.
Oh, no, wait just a minute.
What do you mean you win?
Thank God.
It is a dramatic statement.
Let me clear this up, Phil. Dina Eastwood needs the understanding of a man who speaks the language of love and the language of healing. She is in need of a man. Maybe this is not the role that Clint Eastwood, the man with no name, a man who made these movies and is a desperado, a man who, we all remember Clint Eastwood and the great movies that he's made. He's made a wonderful movies. And he look at him and he takes the gun out and he bang, 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 blows away all these guys, kill those 5 guys, my mule doesn't get it, you know. Who will ever forget? But Dina Eastwood, she's in need of this. I would go in, I would sit there, and Ms. Eastwood, this is Rudy Canosa. I know that you have never heard of me, and yet you do know my voice and what I'm about to say to you. You see, and then you see her eyes open.
Uh-huh.
And, well, what does uh-huh mean?
He's being a smartass again, Rudy. He's been doing this all night.
What does that mean, Phil?
Well, what it means is what I just said, uh-huh. I'm not impressed.
Well, will you please allow me to finish?
I know what you're going to say. I've heard it before. You're going to tell me that you're going to go in there to wherever this poor woman, Ms. Eastwood, and I think she's... What do you mean poor? She checked into a rehab for emotional problems. I believe that perhaps she's out now, but it doesn't mean that... What do you think? You're going to walk into a soft room or something?
I don't know where she is. I don't know. I have no idea. If I went to the doctor, I said, I'm here to see Dina Eastwood. Will you please tell me where she is? Where do you have her? Where is she being locked up? Where is this poor woman? And the doctor says, it's none of your business. I says, it is my business. I'm Rudy Canosa. I'm here to see the Dina Eastwood to say, la 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 la.
And then he's going to pick you up and throw you out of a window 5 floors up.
Wait a second. You can't get...
We'll be back with...
You just slobbered all over yourself.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I'm very proud of that. We'll be back with Rudy Canosa and the rest of his mental illness. I would like you to say, I would like me to say, I'd like you to hear, not you to say it, I'll say it.
You want the audience to work.
No, I don't want the audience to do anything but just listen. I would like you to know that there is no news that Dina Eastwood is mentally unfit or anything. Rudy is flipping his lid like the Latin man that he am, and feels that, you know. So that's a lot of very interesting news. I don't want to go too far into that. We do have this NFL suit. You know, the NFL season is upon us. And it's great fun for the fans. It's great fun and games for the fans. But for the players, increasingly we are learning of the debilitating effects of football, or at least of this constant trauma to the head, even if you're wearing a helmet. Now, I don't know whether that's going to have anything to do with the development of better equipment. I think that's what they've got to do. I think that's what they got to do.
Well, they're wearing helmets now. How much better can they be?
They got to make a helmet so a guy's head doesn't get... squished and everything.
Not getting squished, man.
Well, the helmets that they're wearing are obviously not doing the job. I don't give a damn whether they're at least the guy's not getting a fractured skull. It's got nothing to do with it. Those helmets are supposed to protect those guys, and it ain't happening. And people can say all they want, you know, about, at least there isn't major damage. There are kids that are playing peewee football. There are kids that are playing this Pop Warner football that are getting... concussions, folks. Now, this is, I'm not kidding you. And, yes, they're recovering. But the fact is, it takes its toll on the gray matter. And so some of these children, yes, children, by the time they're ready to go into college, it's over, man. It's over. They got all kinds of medical issues. They got all kinds of problems. They might even already be dealing with this kind of depression that we were talking about, you know? Like the kind of depression I deal with every night when I walk in here and there's Margaret with her and the people.
You know, you have no compassion at all for those people. I want to say to the President, President Obama, have a care. Did you just fart?
No, I did not. I went...
The Bronx Cheer.
Yeah, it's a Bronx Cheer. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret can make her statement, as she's been promised to make by David G. Hall, though I do want to hear him again this evening open his big fat mouth and say it's all cool. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. David G. Hall is going to join us here in a second. Margaret Gray with more on Syria and a heartfelt reminder, philhenryshow.com. Right now we're doing our video cast. I don't know if you guys have ever seen our show. It's pretty weird. I mean, it's weirder than you would imagine. So check us out at philhenryshow.com. It's philhenryshow.com. Our streaming video begins at 6 p.m. on Pacific Coast time, 9 o'clock Eastern time. And we go all the way with the video cast until 1 a.m. Eastern. That would be 10 p.m. Pacific, right?
Yeah, it's 4 hours.
4 hours, exactly. And you can watch all of that with your BSP. David G. Hall joining us from the offices of Henry Radio in Pasadena. And before Margaret comes on here, you wanted to make a statement, right?
Yeah, I want to just reiterate, Phil, Margaret is going to make a statement on behalf of the opposing point of view against the bombing and the blowing up, whatever they're going to do in Syria. I don't know. It's very important, but that's not my job. My job is not to understand those things. My job is to go out and sell and position your show. And that's what we're doing right now. We're on the phone. We're taking, we're talking to people, asking them what do they think.
All of those people in the background?
Yeah, we're making phone calls. I mean, some of the phone calls may be personal, but a lot of them are people, calling out to the different stations. What do you think of the Phil Henry Show? Do you want to buy it? And so on.
Well, how many people are there?
Right here in this room that I'm in right now?
Yeah.
Right here, we probably have in the neighborhood of people.
How many?
About people.
How many people are in the room there?
I don't know. Probably about a half a dozen, I don't know.
It sounds like the room's full of people.
Some of it's a sound effect that I'm running, okay? Now the point...
All right,
Why did you hang up on him?
Because you didn't hear that, huh?
Guy says he's got a sound tape.
A sound effects tape running.
Well, I don't know what that is, but am I allowed to start?
Yes. What?
I'm waiting for the music.
What music?
Oh my God!
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. I didn't communicate. Margaret gets some music. Here it is. Here.
All right. Hold on for a minute.
You got? Are you doing this on purpose?
No, I forgot that. Margaret, I usually don't have people making political statements on the show. And then, oh yeah, by the way, they get music.
All right, Miss Gray. On 3, 2, 1, go.
Where's the mute?
Sorry. 3, 2, 1, go. Wait a minute. Wait, that was early.
Okay, I'll do it.
Where's the countdown?
Why did you hit that?
Oh, you're doing it?
Yes, get out of here. 3, 2, 1.
Thank you, Phil. I'm Margaret Gray on The Phil Henry Show with one woman's opinion. President Obama has decided to side with the international community when it comes to dealings with the Syrian regime. Ban, what side would that be? That side will determine whether the American people join the forces of war. Bobby. For me, I know not what other people may choose. But give me liberty. Give me death.
Is that it?
That's it. Well, what do you think?
What do I think of what?
That last line.
Patrick Henry, great.
Oh, that was Patrick Henry.
Are we practicing or are we doing this?
What's with this we? You got a turd in your pocket? Can you start it again, please?
Margaret, you know something? The audience is out there impatiently listening to this and wondering what it is.
They're wondering what it is because you keep butting in.
What's with this give me liberty or give me death?
I thought it was original.
3, 2, 1, go.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Now.
3, 2, 1, go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Patrick... No, I'm not Patrick Henry. Oh, we'll get a load of the... I'm so sorry, Phil. 3, 2, 1... Oh, I'm counting myself down.
I'll do it. 3, 2, 1, go.
I'm sorry. Stop. You're doing that like a real controlling man. Could you...
You know, I'm going to lose it here in about 5 seconds.
Sorry.
3, 2, 1, go.
I'm Margaret Gray, and welcome to One Woman's Opinion. This evening on the Phil Henry Show, we've heard quite a few opinions concerning the imminent attack of Syria by forces of the West, whether it's called NATO, the United States, or the New Alliance. Yes, we're powerful. Yes, we have weapons. Yes, we can destroy the world many times over. God knows America has the resources to do it. But is that why the good Lord put us here? I don't think so. Pardon me mentioning God. I don't believe in God in that I believe in the separation of church and state, but I do believe in invoking God's name when it comes to dropping enormous amounts of ordnance on some poor little crap stain of a country like Syria. Yes, Syria. Do you know that Syria at one time was a major tourist destination? You do? Because I didn't know that. I found that out yesterday when I was going through some of my husband's luggage, and I saw the picture of a very beautiful brunette with the words lambicans. Why don't you... What happened?
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
Frank asked me to...
Frank, is that you?
Yeah, I told Henry to... I don't know what in the hell it is you think you're doing, but I told her to turn you off.
Wait a minute, I...
Thanks a lot, Phil.
You got it, Frank.
You got it, Frank. You guys...
All right, thanks a lot, and thanks for nothing, okay? Who cares about what Frank's got in his luggage?
I do. Let me tell you what, and what that man's packet in his luggage...
In any event, folks, that's Margaret. So the Syria crisis, which of course is one of monumental proportions, is extremely serious. To that end, we bring on Don Mixa, who is the University of Washington engineering professor and certainly advises us and talks with us on matters having to do with politics and the like. Don, great to have you on the program this evening. To use the words of Bill O'Reilly, what say you?
I was kind of hoping you would not use a phrase like that, Phil, because it's so tired. What say you? Well, here's what I say. I say that President Obama has no business at all, dropping any bomb, missile, any kind of ordnance at all on Syria. He does not have the credential. And I believe that President Obama was elected to be a peacemaker, not a war maker. I think that Syria, whatever mistakes they've made, can be dealt with by a consortium of internationally recognized countries and their internationally recognized leadership. I think Syria got me... God, I'm tired. It's been a really long day today, Phil.
All right, so do you want to just... Let me put you on hold for a minute, okay?
Say that again?
Put you on hold for a minute, okay? All right. What is it with these people, man? He hasn't had a nap?
Yeah, he's pretty tired.
That guy sounds tired all the time. I don't think I want him back on the show at all, you know? General Galen Shaw, who is a retired military and a man of great credentials, joins us now from his home in San Diego, California. And General Shaw, are you at home or are you out eating?
Well, Phil, I'm having dinner with my daughter and a couple of her friends, and we're at a place called Rubio's in San Diego. But I've been listening, Phil, with great interest to your program this evening, and do have a number of things that I want to say concerning this area. Oh, there you go.
You're at a restaurant?
Yeah, that's right. They got a tip. Is that it, honey? My daughter says that every time they get a good tip, they go over to the bar and they run the... Way to do it. Hey. Okay, Phil, I'm having just a couple of drinks with my daughter and her friends, and we're enjoying a final evening together before my daughter goes back to school. But as we talk here about President Obama and we celebrate with our kids, and we celebrate the fact that there are so many young people, Phil, who are going to be going to college, and some will be joining the military. Yes, we do need a military, Phil, and I am a retired general, so I understand the need for military.
Hold on for just a minute. Is that distracting?
No.
That's not distracting me.
It's bugging the hell out of me.
What is?
This foghorn that's going off behind you.
Well, as I say, Phil, a foghorn is when the guys get a tip. What it is, that's when they get a couple of bucks that's laid on the table. Some cheap creep finally pops up. But in any event, Phil, I believe that President Obama is going to be making a decision that could affect the lives of millions of people. And the millions of people that I'm talking about aren't necessarily the Syrian people, but they're also the... Well, now it's starting to bother me. The Syrian people...
How many tips are they laying out up there?
I don't know. They're really... are you guys getting tipped that much? You're just bugging me, is it?
Yeah, we know you're on the radio.
Oh, they know I'm on the radio, so they're trying to wreck the interview.
All right, thanks a lot.
I apologize.
So when we get people, and if you've ever seen on television, they'll have guys that are doing a report, and they've got people jumping up and down and flipping the finger and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they try to keep those people from the camera these days, and that's what we have to do, okay? Somehow the word leaked out that I was going to interview General Shaw, and so the servers there at that bar or restaurant he's at started hitting that foghorn and wrecked the whole interview.
Well, that doddering old clown wasn't going to say anything anyway.
Well, wasn't that respectful of you?
Well, tell me I'm wrong.
All right, we're going to come back with the close of the radio show here on the Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. More to come. Final segment and all that. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Steve Bozell is going to join us here, and we're going to talk about a headline that's, this is bound to be a controversial headline. Texters who distract drivers may share blame for crashes, according to the court. And I know that we're going to have Steve on tomorrow, right, bud?
Yeah, he's going to come back on tomorrow, but he's going to do like a promo now.
Okay, that sounds fair enough. With us is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. Now, Steve, the texting is obviously dangerous. What is this law, and how does this put more teeth into the anti-texting laws that we have?
Well, this law, Mr. Henry, is a law that says that people, if someone gets into an automobile accident and they were texting, yeah, that was them. They should not have been texting. But also, it's going to mean that the person that was texting them is also responsible for the automobile accident. And that has particular...
Now, hold on for a minute. I just want to know, New Jersey Court of Appeals, is that it?
Yeah, that's it. New Jersey Appeals Court said its recent ruling is notable not just for trying to crack down on texting and driving, but for interpreting the way that technology has reshaped life. There was a kid who crashed his pickup truck into a married couple riding a motorcycle after his truck crossed the center line on a curve. He'd been texting with an acquaintance. Both of these people lost their left legs in the accident.
Oh, God. These people on a motorcycle.
Yes, sir. This was David and Lisa Kubert. They settled with Best after filing a lawsuit, but they also sued Best's acquaintance, Shannon Colonna, arguing that she was electronically present in Best's truck by texting him and was thus partially responsible for distracting him.
Distracting him?
Yeah, distracting him on the road.
Well, that doesn't sound fair.
Well, I think it is.
You do, huh? And why?
Well, I think the court's absolutely right. If you're texting somebody, you're an idiot, you deserve to go down for the count. But if there's somebody else that's texting you while you're driving...
What if they don't know you're driving?
Well,
I mean, if you're texting somebody, I've texted people many times, and I have no idea what they're doing. I have no idea what they're doing, you know?
I think in this case, he let her know, in a specific sense, Colonna won. The three-judge panel unanimously agreed Tuesday that there was insufficient evidence to determine whether Colonna was responsible for distracting Best, but they can find you guilty if they do find it. See what I'm saying?
So in other words, the law says that it is actionable against you if you text someone, even though you're not in the car, even though you're not with them. If you're texting someone driving, it is actionable to sue you because you're distracting that driver.
That is correct.
So the only reason why this Ms. Colonna did not get, that they did not find for the plaintiff, is because they could not prove she had, in fact, that she knew he was driving?
Well, I think it's that part that, and that she had actually distracted him. The court language says when the sender has actual knowledge or specific reason to know from prior texting experience or otherwise that the recipient will view the text while driving, the sender has breached the duty of care to the public by distracting the driver, okay? That's a very, very important ruling, Mr. Henry, because in the case of Leanne Doherty and myself and Roy Hutchins that I want to bring up tomorrow, that Leanne Doherty sent me a picture that was totally, totally, totally in the realm of distracting, and I had no choice in the matter.
What do you mean you had no... What happened? Because I don't know what happened.
Yeah, we're not really clear on this case, Steve.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. What happened was is I had lost control. I was driving away from a job site in the Diamond Bar, California, and I lost control. I jumped a center divider, and I went through a chain-link fence, and basically I ran two of these golf carts. There were four people in two golf carts at a auto dealership, and I guess they were going around looking at the cars. I hit both of these, and I ran both of these right straight into a wall. The people inside the golf carts, fortunately, and I thank God for this, I got to tell you, I'm still emotional about it. The golf carts went through the wall, and the people were protected because they were buried under bricks and rubble. The only things that happened was bruising. I think there were some cracked ribs.
Your car?
Not my car, my truck, Mr. Henry. And before you make it all dramatic by going, your car, you know, I'm
not making it. Look, pal, you know, if you did something that is that produces some incredulity, you'll have to understand. Your truck jumped a center divider, went through a chain link fence, hit four people in two golf carts. Am I right?
Yes, sir, you're right.
Okay. And continued on driving those two golf carts through a wall?
Through the wall of an office, yeah.
And there they came to rest under rubble.
Under rubble.
Debris?
Yeah, under debris. I don't know. What do you mean by that? Rubble.
Rubble? Like,
the guy?
What guy?
He thinks you're talking about... Are you... Barney Rubble is a name. That's not a person.
Well, yeah.
Rubble, the definition of rubble is debris, bricks. Wow.
Well, all right. I didn't know that. I thought you said under rubble. I think...
Talk about under Barney Rubble.
Yes, sir.
All right. So
when you pause like that for a long time, though, it makes me look like a retard. And
I'm sorry if it does, but hey, you know, there's an old saying: truth hurts.
Wow.
Well, Steve, you have described a series of events here that blows me away. The fact that you were texting. The fact that you lost concentration.
Yeah, but I want to say that based on this ruling, Leanne Doherty also pushed that golf cart with them people through the wall and wrecked my truck, too.
Because she texted you a picture, and I'm beginning to get the idea here. You said she sent you a picture, and let me guess, was she naked?
I don't know if she was totally naked, but the part she sent me was very much naked. Yes, ma'am.
The part she sent you, okay. And did she know that you were driving?
Okay. See that?
All right, that's a very key question, according to you, right?
Yes, sir, it is. Yes, sir, it is. And that, we're going to go into court, and we're going to prove that yes, she did know.
All right, but you've yet to prove that.
We have not gone to court yet, no, sir. But I feel very confident that my lawyer is going to prove that when she sent a picture of it, and it come right into my truck, you know, as pretty as you please, and I'm down staring at it and everything like that.
How long did you look at it for?
Probably a good 10 seconds.
And your head was bent down looking at a text and not at the road?
That is correct, sir. But again, according to the New Jersey Appeals Court, or the state of appeal, or whatever they call it.
The New Jersey Appellate Court.
All right, the Appellate Court. That she distracted me by sending me a picture of it, and I'm all looking at it and, you know, and everything, and I forgot about there's a truck that I'm driving.
You forgot about the truck? Phil, I don't think the law ever takes in. I don't think the law is there to say a man can be distracted to the point that he is unaware he's even driving a car.
Well, I don't know, but Steve, we'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow, and because we got to get going. That's a very, very fascinating case. It's also a little bit unbelievable that a guy, I agree with you, that a guy can be held, or someone else can be held liable for the distraction of a person to the extent that they forget they're driving a truck. I don't think that that's possible at all. World-famous Phil Henry Show, thank you, CJ, for taking controls tonight, and thank you, Margaret, Bud, and Robert. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you. Our postgame is our website and our show log on the website at philhenryshow.com. See you tomorrow night.
And God bless.
And the people of Syria.